Absolution was just a place, not a state of mind. The man only had to ride for half a day to reach it. Beyond the rise of one more hill, he saw the town waiting for him in the wide valley below. He saw cottonwood and willow trees, and some brighter greens that looked like they might be permanent, signs that the silver band of river running through the valley bottom was a reliable water source. He was surprised by the number of buildings he could see lined up along Absolution's main street. A couple of cross streets branched off it like veins of ore. Veins of gold. A gold strike was the only thing he knew that could pull enough people together to build a town this size in the middle of a godforsaken wasteland. He slowed his horse to a walk well before he reached the town limits, giving himself more time to take in details about what he was riding into. Absolution wasn't the town it appeared to be from a distance. Even though it was well into afternoon now, the dusty main street was almost deserted. The buildings along it had been put up to last, but the paint on most of them was faded and peeling, blistered by the desert sun. More than one looked abandoned. Whoever had built this town in the first place had given up and left it a while ago. Another boomtown gone bust. Because the gold its founders thought would last forever had run out long before their expectations. It wasn't a ghost town yet, but the people who still lived here were only staying because they had no place better to go. As far as he could tell, none of that had anything to do with him, except that an empty street in broad daylight made a stranger riding into town a lot more conspicuous. Something, maybe long habit, told him he didn't want to be noticed, at least not until he'd remembered who he was. He pressed a hand to his wounded side, and then he turned the horse off the main track, circling around behind the row of buildings, looking for one that seemed to be occupied, preferably with an open back door. To his surprise, he found what he was looking for without having to search for long. He dismounted behind a building with a fairly fresh coat of white paint on its clapboards. The back door was wide open to let in whatever breeze happened by. He spotted a rain barrel under a downspout near the back steps, lit it against the heat and still half full. His horse required a lot more water than he did. Anybody who forgot that might as well blow his own brains out, because he'd be dead soon enough anyway, along with his horse. The man let the horse drink, and then looped a rein over the railing of the steps to make sure it stayed there. Definitely not expecting visitors, he thought as he climbed the steps and went in through the open door. It was only then that he noticed the damn dog had followed him all the way to town, as it appeared in the doorway behind him, gazing up at him with wide brown eyes and that mindless smile. The realization struck him that the dog was just doing the same thing he'd been trying to do, survive, when its whole life had been pulled out from under him. By him. Resigned, he pointed at the floor. Stay, he said. The dog sat down in the doorway and stayed there, satisfied. The man took a longer look around, not able to tell what kind of place this was, but seeing what looked like a small kitchen ahead of him, and a bottle of whiskey sitting on a table beside the sink. The thought of that appealed to him, and he moved ahead cautiously. Hello? He called out. Not too loudly, not wanting to be caught by surprise if somebody was in the next room, but not wanting to bring them running either. There was no answer. No sound of footsteps. Relaxing, he reached the table and the half-full bottle of whiskey sitting on it. He uncorked it and drank several long swallows, enjoying the burn. The water of life. That was what whiskey meant, according to Dolan. Right now, he believed it. It didn't even bother him that he had no idea who Dolan was. He set the bottle down with a satisfied sigh and moved to the sink. Working the pump handle, he got the water flowing until he'd filled the bowl he found there. He plunged his hands into the cool water. It felt good on his bruised, abraded knuckles. But he needed to clean himself up. He took off his hat and splashed the water on his face, rubbing off sweat and dust before he did the same to his hands and arms. Leaning forward, he dumped the rest of the water over his head to rinse off his hair. He used the dry dish rag he found on the table to finish up the job. Just doing that much left him feeling shaky and in more pain from his wound than he'd been when he arrived. He began to unbutton his vest. His wound still needed tending. Even lifting a liquor bottle made the now constant pain in his side worse. He pulled up his shirt and poured whiskey into the deep, bloody gash, clenching his teeth. The burn it set off in his wound felt familiar, but a hell of a lot less pleasant than the one in his throat and belly. He took another long swig of whiskey, set the bottle down on the table, reached for the cork, and froze in mid-motion as he heard a rifle cocked behind him. "Palms to heaven, friend," a voice said. Slowly, the man raised his hands.